Yeah, I'd like to talk about holographic entanglement entropy and its application, which we did recently. And this work is based on the many collaborators. I summarized here. And these are references of this talk, and this I go back to the 2006 and give some overview in that half of my talk, and also give introduction to our recent result, maybe 2010. And also, this is a review of this subject. Okay, so let me begin with the introduction. So, that this motivation is about quantum gravity. And there are many motivations of this holographic entanglement entropy, but I just concentrate on quantum gravity. So, the understanding of quantum gravity is very important for problems in theoretical physics. And for example, there are many interesting questions like, so what's the quantum effect? And what is the quantum effect of this Big Bang singularities? There are lots of quantum effects. Maybe they resolve this singularity or what will happen. And also the idea of this time, this notion of time is really absolute or emergent. There are many, many conceptual questions. But the present knowledge of string theory does not answer this question, so we should work more hard to answer these points, which is very important also in cosmology. So, however, we have already noticed a very important hint to answer these questions. This should be a so-called holographic principle. So, first, this idea relates this quantum gravity of some manifold. In my condition, I like it with d plus 2, but this means d plus 1 space direction plus 1 time direction, and assume there is some boundary of this manifold. Then the holographic principle claims that quantum gravity of this space-time is actually equivalent to some quantum theory without gravity, which lives on this boundary. Of course, this is a rather general statement, and there are no proofs. But now we know the famous relation for ADS CFT correspondence on the and so this is a rather explicit relation between two theories. One is gravitational theory, and another one is non-gravitational theory. So as you know, this quantum gravity of string theory on anti-Gossita space is equivalent to some conformal field theory, so it lives on this boundary. So this is the cartoon of ADS space-time. And maybe I'm marking on this frontal coordinate, but this capital R is a radius of this ADS space. And this Z is an extra coordinate, extra dimension. And X0 and XI is like this Minkowski space time, which is this slice. And for fixed Z, we have the standard Minkowski space time, Lorentz space time. And this Z gives some work factor of this metric, so when Z equals 0, this metric divergent. So it's like this. Z equals 0, it's divergent, and if we put the large Z towards infinity, so it shrinks in this way. And as usual in ADS CFT, this UBIR, duality says that in the dual conformal field theory, the energy scale is very high here, in near the boundary of this ADS space-time. So we need to put some cutoff, otherwise the metric is literally divergent. So this is a cutoff Z equals A. And if you go to right Z, this means that Riemannian group flow into the infrared region. So this goes to infrared low energy region. So this is the idea of ADS CFT, and we have many evidences of this correspondence. So in this context, the conformal field theory is just quantum field theory, so it is non-perturbative, well defined. So for this ADS space time, we can indeed have a quantum effect by considering this correspondence. So this quantum gravity is very complicated, but you can map equivalently map to the conformal field theory. So you have some non-perturbative definition of this quantum gravity. So there are many things to do. And so simplest example is a well studied example of black holes. So we can look at some black hole which is static. So then we know that such a black hole is characterized by mass, charge, and angular momentum. So this is a very simple, so we only have a few parameters. And indeed, as we know, the black hole is governed by thermodynamics. So this corresponds to thermal equilibrium. So this side, this black hole size is some thermodynamics, and this thermodynamics is exactly the same as the standard thermodynamics of quantum mechanical systems or quantum field theory. So we have a nice correspondence, and things are very simple. But if we would like to go beyond this static space-time, generically, the situation is time-dependent. It's very complicated. And so this thermodynamic equilibrium now changes into no equilibrium physics, which is very complicated. But still, AFCFT says that these two guys are equilibrium. So there are no equilibrium dynamics, and which is mapped to some such a similar behavior in gravitational background, which is time-dependent. But to characterize such a time-dependent space-time, we need a lot of quantities compared with this sample case, not just a few. And in this talk, we'd like to argue that this such a quantity, and a good candidate of such quantity, is given by so-called entanglement entropy. I omit this just E, capital EG, entanglement entropy, and this should be a useful physical quantity. And indeed, this has some parameter. This means that this quantity includes infinitely many information. It's not just a single quantity. It's entropy, but not like some random entropy. So this includes infinitely many information. So the advantage to consider this entanglement entropy from the viewpoint of quantum gravity is summarized here. So this can be defined in any quantum mechanical systems. So this should be useful in general situation holography. And this is entropy, but as opposed to standard thermal entropy, this is even generically non-zero at zero temperature. Even for pure, zero temperature means pure states. On the other hand, thermal entropy becomes zero in the zero temperature, usually, except some extremal black holes. So even if we just consider some zero temperature quantum state, this is non-zero, so this is a good physical observables. And indeed, so if we are interested in black hole formation from just pure state, so even just pure state, we have summarization, and this summarization is supposed to be a dual black hole formation, but always, this is an unitary evolution, so this should be always pure state. So the thermal entropy becomes zero if we literally define it just Hohenheimer entropy, but this entanglement entropy can be non-zero, and maybe, as we will discuss later, this can be captured the black hole formation. Finally, so this quantity as a parameter, so in that sense, this is sort of some mixture of correlation functions and Wilson loops and entropy. So this measures a degree of freedom, but also a lot of parameters, which is sort of some distance between two points, like in correlation functions, but more, it is like non-local objects, which is similar to Wilson loops. And also, this includes the topological information, like very fast. In this sense, this can be very useful to understand quantum topological order, so quantum order. So this can be regarded as quantum order parameter. Okay, so these are introductions, and this is a contents of my talk. So I finished the introduction. Next, I'd like to give introduce what is the entanglement entropy, and also give some motivation from other subjects. And then we go to the main point of how to calculate this entanglement entropy in a holographic background by using gauge theory, and discuss some applications to, for example, confining gauge theories or black hole formations. And finally, I'd like to discuss what can we learn about holography in black space by using this entanglement entropy. Okay, so let me say what's the entanglement entropy.
So this is a very elementary quantity in quantum mechanics, or quantum mechanical system. So let's assume there are some quantum systems, and the quantum mechanics characterized by this Hilbert space. So Hilbert, we have Hilbert space, so total Hilbert space. And for example, if we have a spin chain, we have many spins in each side, and we can just cut at some point, this is artificially cut, and regard this part is A and other part is just B, then formally, the Hilbert space just product of this Hilbert for A times the Hilbert space of B. We can extend this to the continuum limit. So our assumption is Hilbert space, total Hilbert space, some direct product of two Hilbert space. So then So this is a quantum mechanics. So the system is characterized by density matrix. So this is written here, this rho total. Rho total means total density matrix, a standard density matrix. And so we have A and B, and here we take trace over B. So we trace out this degree of freedom. So this is a density matrix only for this subsystem A. Because we are tracing out this part, the rank of this matrix reduced, and this means some coarse grain. So we forget about the information, detailed information B. So this is some smeared density matrix. This is called reduced density matrix for A. So now we can define that this entanglement entropy by just this homoema entropy for this reduced density matrix, for this minus trace rho log rho. And in quantum field theory, so I explained some example in spin chain, but you can easily take this continuum limit. And the Hilbert space is always defined by this time slice. We fix time to some constant value, and this is a space manifold, and we divide space manifold into two parts, A and B. So you can choose any shape of this boundary. So sometimes it's a topologically non-trivial or trivial one. It's fine, but I just like simplest one. And so A, and we just call inside of this circle A and outside B, and these are characterized by this boundary. So this specifies this direct product structure of total Hilbert space, and we can define rho A, just come from this quantum field theory, and define, we can define this entanglement entropy. So because you can deform this boundary, so you can define infinitely many different kinds of this entanglement entropy. So this is the infinite part. Sometimes this is called, because this geometrical definition, so sometimes this is called geometrical entropy. So the simplest example, this is a very textbook example, and I think many of you is very familiar with this. And so, but just let me repeat this. And this is a wave function, and assuming this is a ground state wave function of some spin system, we have two spins, A and A side and B side. And if the state is direct product like this, then if we measure first spin up, but then second spin not clear, this part is not correlated. So in this sense, in this case, we compute, if we compute entropy, this standard is zero. So this case is called not entangled, no correlation between two spins. And on the other hand, if we look at this bit more complicated state, which is some sort of singlet state, if this is true, then if we this spins up, then second spin is always down, and the opposite is also true. In this sense, the information here and here is strongly correlated, and we call this the entangled state. And then if we compute entropy, this takes maximal value, which is log 2. 2 comes from spin half degree of freedom. So there are various applications of this quantity, this entanglement entropy. First of all, it plays a very important role in the quantum information theory and quantum computing theory. So this measures, this entropy measures the amount of quantum information. And also recently, this quantity also becomes pretty important in condensed matter physics, especially theoretical aspects. And so there are many interesting ideas which connect this entropy to this condensed matter physics. I just like some of them. And this, first of all, this entanglement entropy measures the efficiency of some computer simulations. If you have some quantum manifold systems, and if the quantum fluctuation is very large, it's quite difficult do this approximation by this computer simulation. So basically what we do is just take some density matrix and we approximate this infinitely times the infinite matrix to be just finite rank matrix. And sometimes this rank, which you need to have a good approximation, should be divergent. And indeed such a thing happening when when we are interested in phase transition point. So there are no correlation lengths divergent, and quantum fluctuation also divergent. So, and indeed, this entropy gets divergent. So here, I mean that if this entropy is proportional to the efficiency, if the entropy is very large, it's quite difficult to do some computer simulation. And this is a nice measure of this. And on the other hand, we can regard this entropy as a quantum order parameter, because this gets divergent at the phase transition point. Also, this quantity also it is pointed that also quantity is useful to capture some topological nature of ground state, like this T4. And because this entropy is not like correlation functions. Correlation functions point to point correlation. It's a local object. But this entanglement entropy is non-local definition, as is clear from this picture. So this can capture non-trivial topological quantity like anions or something like that.
Does this entanglement entropy experimentally?
That's a very interesting question, but I don't know exactly what we can do. But there are several. I'm not an expert on that, but there are several works in that direction. Sometimes if you have some system and divide this way, right, and then measure some fluctuations in particle number here, right. So if you have some particle coming here, if you measure it somehow related to entropy or something, but I don't think that we don't have a conclusive answer to that question. But there are such things. But maybe I'm not the right person to answer the question.
Okay, so, but so far this means a rather theoretical quantity. That's what I have. So, and finally, so this is my interest. This is a quantum gravity and string theory. And so this entanglement entropy, so that this setup is very similar to black hole. So this is this part. We assume this part is not, maybe this, we can flip A and B. So let's assume this is pressed out. Then observe outside of this region. This region cannot see inside of this region. So this is some toy model of black hole. And this is really the historical reason why quantum field theory people consider this quantity in more than, I think, 20 years ago. And but still this, the relation between entanglement entropy and this Bekenstein-Hawking entropy or gravitational entropy has not been answered at that time, but we are interested to go back to this question by using modern idea of holograph, ADS-CFT correspondence. So indeed, as we explained later, these are directly related in some, if we assume this ADS-CFT correspondence. So this is the main issue of this talk. But before we go on, I just also mentioned some one example. This is a rather famous example. And so this is a Hamiltonian of this one-dimensional speed chain of this Ising model. So you can also do some Heisenberg model, but this is just one example. And this is Ising interaction. And we put some external magnetic field in transverse direction, x direction. Then we know that there is a phase transition point at value h is 1. And indeed, if we plot also entanglement entropy, because we can compute this exactly, because this is an exactly solvable model, so it really literally diverges at this point. And this divergence looks like this. So this C is the central charge of this fixed point. This 1 plus 1 two-dimensional cohomology theory. And this, in this case, I think 1 half. But you can generalize for other cases. C over 6 and log Cauchy over A. Cauchy is a correlation length. And A is the lattice spacing between. So correlation length becomes divergent at this point. So there are many such examples, which looks very interesting. OK, so this is a lower dimensional case, this 1 plus 1 dimension. Now I go to a rather higher dimension. But here we are more interested in quantum field theory rather than this lattice model, because we are interested in this ADS-CFT, and CFT is a quantum field theory. We take continuum limit. So there is a famous property, which is called area law, which is known for standard quantum field theory. More precisely, we assume this quantum field theory has some UV fixed point. UV fixed point. So this means that if we go to high energy, the theory becomes conformal. This is the assumption. If that is true, basically this frame follows. So this entanglement entropy is typically divergent, includes UV divergent, because this entropy and counts the number of degree of freedom, but quantum field theory, degree of freedom is infinite. And its divergence structure looks like this. So A is a lattice constant, and it's always, this is a D, my convention is this D plus 1 dimensional quantum field theory. D is a space direction, and then it's lower by 2, so D minus 1 divergence appears, and its coefficient is always proportional to area of this boundary, so area of this boundary, not the volume of this A. In this sense, this is non-extensive, and in this sense, this formula looks very similar to Bekenstein-Hawking formula. But this is finite. Newton consensus final, but this is divergent. And also we can consider some subleading terms, and indeed AdS safety can also help us to compute these terms. And so this is, in my understanding, this is not exactly proven for any case, for general cases, but this is proven for free field theory and some extension of that, Gaussian theory. But the AdS safety offers us to see if this is true for strongly coupled system, and indeed this is true. So what we learned is that if you have UV fixed points, it's always true. Okay, so now I go back to the lower dimensional example. So this is continuum theory. So this is a, for example, if we compute entanglement entropy in two-dimensional conformal theory, and sometimes you can introduce some boundary. So this is done, first done by Holliday-Larsen-Wittek long ago, but recently reanalyzed by Calabrese-Cardi using a nice technique of bilateral algebra and conformal field theory, and also extended to more complicated case like this. And if we have boundary, we have additional term. But basically, this bulk contribution, if we divide infinitely long infinitely long line into some A and B, and A width of A is L, then it always behaves like log L. And coefficient is proportional to central charge. So because central charge is measured as a degree of freedom, so this appearance of the C is very natural. And we can fix this coefficient. This is always true for any conformal field theory. This just comes from bilateral algebra. And L is this length, and A is, again, cutoff value. And also, if we have some boundary, sometimes we have an additional contribution. And this contribution actually identified with so-called a boundary entropy, or sometimes people call this G, defined by Apuleto and Ludwig. And at that time, they say this is a boundary entropy, but this entropy is not quantized. Not quantized means log of some integer number. This looks funny, but if we regard this entropy as just some part of entanglement entropy, it is fine, because entanglement entropy is not quantized in that sense. So indeed, this is entropy. And this G characterizes the boundary conformal field theory, which lives on this boundary. And we can also do some holographic calculation of this quantity. Okay, so these are basic knowledge of this entanglement entropy in quantum field theory. So now I'd like to put the AdS CFT or holographic dual side. Yes?
One thing. So is this G well-defined, log G? I mean, it depends on how you introduce your cutoff.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. In that sense, there is ambiguity. But there are another way to define G by using original definition of boundary entropy. So that is ambiguous. But if you choose particular A, this is true.
Right. I'm saying directly from the entanglement entropy, you will not be able to extract.
Right, that's true. Okay, so now we'd like to discuss the holographic side. So then we'd like to compute this quantity by using AdS CFT correspondence. And what we find in them is that
with Sincere correspondence matter. The rest is the following simple formula. So if we have some AdS space-time, and we have also boundary, and this is a gravity on AdS space-time, this plus two dimensional anti-Toshiba space-time, and the boundary is b plus one, like this. And we divide the space into A and B, and we forget about time direction. This is a basic definition of entanglement entropy. So this division is very important. This boundary of A, the same as boundary of B, is very important. And what we need to do to compute this holography is just extend this boundary towards the bulk. It's one dimension extension, because AdS CFT extends extra dimension Z, this one dimensional lives on the one dimension higher. So we do the same thing. We extend into one higher dimension. But of course, there are many, infinitely many different extensions. And we have to pick up some unique one. And this unique one is defined by so-called minimal area surface. This is just surface with minimum area. This is, fortunately, in AdS space-time, this is uniquely defined. So this, and if we have this surface, then we just calculate this area. and use the exactly same form of Bekenstein-Hawking formula, but it's more general. Because this gamma A, this surface is not always horizon, usually not horizon. But if we have a black hole, and if we go to the large radius limit of A, it wraps the horizon, so it reduces the Bekenstein-Hawking formula. This is me just consistent check, but this formula is more general. But anyway, so this is the AGS spacetime, and as we said, this part has an infinitely large warp factor, so this gets divergent. This area is divergent, and this divergence just corresponds to the previous area law divergent. We have nice agreement. So the heuristic, this is just heuristic interpretation, but so this is now switch to be honest, this is a global AGS, but this is a boundary of AGS, this is a bulk, and some observer is sitting A, and to define entropy, we trace out this part B. But if we look inside this bulk region, so this observer look at this part in this AGS space-time, and what we had in mind from this formula is that there is actually some horizon here, which is we call gamma A. So this is the surface we define gamma A, is the surface, and this surface entropy, which is a black hole entropy, actually gives us this entropy. This is a basic intuitive understanding. And if you are in particular, if you look at the lower dimensional space like AGS3, this is exactly true. And to compute this entropy, we need to introduce this Lindorf horizon here. And indeed, this horizon entropy is that true. Okay, so I have several comments. And but unfortunately, there are no complete proof of this claim. This AGS3 case is fine, but higher dimensional case, there are no complete proof. And but fortunately, there are no counterexamples, also including by excellent one, which is from discussed recently by Meyer, Cassini, and Fleur. And also, there are some idea of general derivation of this holographic entanglement entropy by Farsight, but there are some problems and some loophole in this argument, but pointed by Matt Hedrick. So this is a line. To prove this exactly, it's a very important question, a future problem. And so I like this expression, assuming the space-time actually is static. Because in Lorentzian space-time, minimal area has no meaning. So if we go to the null direction, it's vanishing area. So if we are really time-dependent background, then we cannot take this time slice. We cannot fix time direction, and we have to deal with Lorentzian space-time. And then what I find with Veronica Fubeni and Mukund Rangamani, is we should take not minimal area, but extremal area surface. So this means that we take area functional in Lorentzian space-time and just take some extremalization and pick up correct one. There are one more additional constraint, but I just write it simply. So anyway, so this kind of variational principle gives the correct surface. And we don't need to take time slice. This is an advantage of this approach. Yeah, so it is if you compute area, just area of some surface, and this area, and solve this equation. This leads to some equation motion. But it's a Lorentzian minus, I should say, yeah. Minus, yeah. That's right.
You really need saddle point, you don't need.
Yeah, only
subtle,
yeah. It's not minimum, but it's just.
What happens if there are several minimums? There are several solutions.
We need to find every solution, and then just take minimum area one. Yeah, that is the excellent point. Yeah, that's also the important data analysis. So, yeah, this minimum principle is very important to protect this, or keep the nice property called strong severity as we come up with. This is something necessary so that we don't have any contradiction. So that in the presence, and finally, this is already I mentioned, so in the presence of black horizon, the minimal surface typically try to lap on the horizon. So the formula finally reduced to just Bekenstein-Hawking, very famous formula, Bekenstein-Hawking N. So this is a consistency check. And finally, so this formula is, of course, we assume this some general gravity or supergravity approximation. So this is
in a dual conformal field size, this is only true for strong coupling limit. Topf coupling is very large. So, of course, we are interested in such a 1 over lambda expansion when coupling constant is very small. And there are very interesting developments on this point recently, and led by Rob Myers and Janet and Sorkin, and also another group before and collaborators, and taking into account higher derivatives. But my talk is don't take into account higher derivatives, just discrete stays on this leading term. This means supergravity approximation. So that should be dual. The stronger coupled limit of dual gauges.
The area becomes time dependent.
That's right.
And how does it increase with time?
Yeah. Sometimes decrease. It is possible. But in general relativity, it's always increase, I should say. But if you take it as a strongly correction so on, it is expected to also decrease. Because this is not some dynamical entropy, there are no second law. So this can be decreased. But in general relativity, because it's a planarity.
There is no analogs for the entanglement entropy, the statements that you have. Entanglement entropy should increase.
No. But there are some analog of second law, which is called strong subrelativity, which I will explain. But yeah, that is also, I will mention time dependence of entropy later.
So, exactly this one. So, this, some second laws can be regarded as some concave nature of entropy. So, this is not directly related to second law, but some analog. Very vaguely the analog of that. And this is the most interesting property known so far about entanglement entropy, and formed by Leap and this guy long ago, 1973. And this is called strong subrelativity. And they are summarized these two in quality. Here you can derive second one from one. But for this presentation, I write two versions of this strong subrelativity. So SA plus B and D plus C means, so we just divide total space-time, or Hilbert space, into A, B, C, and some other part. Maybe you can call D, but it's just A, B, C. And this topology is not that important. Just assuming A and B don't have any overlap, and B and C no overlap. They are exclusive. So this SA plus B means just entropy for this region, A plus B, this region, this union region. And B plus C is this region, union region. And if we compute this, and this is all greater than these two, total one and this A, and B, this, and similar relation. This is some analog triangle relation of this entropy. So that this is inequality. And so to show this, it actually requires a lot of algebraic calculation. But of course, we can just show this based on this Hilbert space. And linear algebra and matrix algebra. But actually, if we use holography, this is actually very easy to show. And just this, there's some, a few seconds only need to understand this relation. So you can just look at this picture. So I write it in one plus one dimension. This in area safety is defined in higher dimension. I just project essence to this seat, two-dimensional seat. This is the boundary. And this is the minimal surface. And this is the area's radial direction. And this is the area's boundary. And we divide the space boundary with A, B, C, like this. And then, so far, we are interested in SA plus B is this surface. And B plus C is this surface. And we compute the minimal area and sum of them. This is this entropy. But you can regard this just the same surface, but you can call this is a surface for A plus B plus C, and this part is B. But then this is always greater than real minimal surface for A plus B plus C. So this inequality is already clear. And you can reconnect this part in the opposite way. There are two different connections. This way you can call this surface for A. See, this is always greater than this one. This is also clear, and this leads to the second inequality. So in this sense, these two guys, to inequality is now understood as a rather geometrical relation. Originally, this is a rather algebraic relation, but ADS safety mapped this algebraic relation to a geometrical relation. Okay, so this is a very important point. Yeah, now I also go to some more explicit examples. First example, which is easy to compute, is ADS3-CFT2. So this is a...
The quantum oscillations around this classical surface will not pose this inequality from the holographic
point of view.
Yeah.
So that's, I cannot answer the question, but I hope not, but there are no proof of that. If that is not supported by then, you know, ADS-CFT is wrong somehow. So we don't, that's not what we expect, but there are no. It's very complicated. So, so this is ADS-3 metric in the global coordinate. It's time and the radial direction, and it's the boundary. Theta is conducted by it, so the boundary is now just subtle. And field area region is ADS space time. And so if we go up to the boundary, the metric divergence, this cost rho, so this divergence. So we have to subtract this divergence.
Pick up this divergence. So this subsystem A is here, and the subsystem B is here, and we are interested in entropy for A. So we trace out this path. And according to the previous holographic formula, we just compute minimal area surface whose boundary is just boundary of B. But this is ADS3, and such a surface is always codimension 2. So this is just line. So this is geodesic line. So we need to compute geodesic distance between two these entry points. This is, we can do it analytically. Especially ADS3 has a nice property, and we can solve the problem. And in the end, we get this formula. Rho 0 is a cutoff at this point. If we go to rho 0 to infinity, then you'll be limit. To make this finite, we have, and this L, small L is this length, and large L is this total circumference. So this is a geometrical quantity, and if we compute this ratio, this length of geodesic line, and 4G Newton, so we get this result, and this is still divergent. This is what we expect from standard result of entropy in quantum theory. And we use the famous relation between central charge and ADS radius. And we relate this UV cutoff, rho 0, to cutoff of conformal field theory. This is also standard relation, UVIR relation. And in this way, we finally get this formula. So C divided by 3, and large L is the total length, and small L is this subsystem B, length of subsystem B, or A. And we take the sign and log of this. And this precisely agree with what we compute from conformal field theory done by these works. Also, if we take L goes to infinity, so this reduces to the log L, small L over A, which is we already introduced, I think, here we introduced this one. But in compact file case, we have a sine factor here. But this is also derived from conformal field theory.
Why is this formula agree for finite C instead of in the limit C goes to infinity? Presumably you derive the formula using
That's a good question. But anyway, from the beginning, just to forget about ADS-CFT, and the resulting quantum field theory just depends on C.
So this is not
a surprise.
There are corrections you expect.
But that should be cancelled, I think. But that's what we did. That is extension, I think, point. This is a compact file case with zero temperature. It's a pure ADS. But now we move to finite temperature case. Then the now finite temperature system is dual to blackboard. This is what we. This is a standard path in ADS-CFT. So in ADS-3 case, this becomes a BTC blackboard. And BTC blackboard has a nice property that many things are solvable. And in its geodesic distance, is exactly computable. But also, this is because BTC blackboard is some quotient of ADS-3 space time. So we can again have similar formula, but now it's sinh, not sine. And this leads to this final formula of this entanglement entropy. And this agree with what we know in conformal field theory. So beta is the inverse temperature, A is a cutoff, L is a length of this
subsystem. But here, I am assuming that the subsystem, total system is not finite size, but infinite size, infinitely long. So there are no L, large L goes to infinity. That's the reason we get this simple form. So the geometric interpretation of this result is interesting. In an ADS space time, we have a boundary, and we have an event horizon, and this is the black hole region. This boundary is the event horizon, but inside is black hole. So we have A and B here, and so we are interested in entropy for A, so this is this geodesic line. So we have, actually there are two geodesic lines, as you can see from here, because this gives some topological obstruction. But we are assuming that this entropy for A is something which is homotopic to A. So this surface should be homotopic to A. On the other hand, entropy for B is homotopic to B. So this is the rule. Then we know that we find that SA is different from SB. But this is really indeed true, because this is a standard fact of entanglement entropy, that total, if total system is not pure state, but weak state, then this is no longer true. This is not, they are different. But if the total system is pure state, SA is the same as SB. And indeed, in the, this ADS side, this is clear from this presence of black hole horizon. If you have black hole, then there are two different paths, and the entropy is different.
Classical solutions, you have to keep the one with the smallest.
But we are assuming that this always a topological condition. This A should be homotopic to gamma A. But your point is becoming getting very important. But so far here, we are assuming that this always true. This A is the same as this topological condition requires this subsystem A is the same. So I didn't mind. This is the basic principle. So this is a result for infinite size, infinitely long system, but we can also compute entropy for finite size system at finite temperature, and this is some result which we previously done. And so this is just for two-dimensional free fermion case. So in general, it's quite hard, because this is sort of torus partition function, more complicated than torus partition function. So we need to know the spectrum of the homomorphic theory. So if the theory is free, then we have solvable results. And also we need some technical point, we need the so-called deprecatory. And to do that, we need actually some procedure of bosonization. So fermion can be bosonized. So this is the reason why we can compute this entropy. And this is a leading term, it's same as this one. But finite size effect is coming from some of each node. And this is sort of log of theta function. But actually, not exactly theta function. There is an additional term, which we don't know exactly what is the meaning of this, but this is very important to reproduce the sum of entropy. So if we plot versus against this legs, x, so SA is not same as SB, so this is not symmetrical. So if we have small x and go to large x, there are some gradual growth, some small growth. And this amount of entropy we gain, if we go from here to here, it's a summary entropy, it's a finite quantity. But this divergent structure going 0 to infinity, this is a divergent increase. This is actually come from previous UV divergence, that like this logarithmic divergence. But if we remove that, we have a summary entropy. And to get this summary entropy, this term is actually important. Okay, so this is a story in 1 plus 1 or 2 dimensional conformal theory and ADS space time. So ADS space time, so we can predict ADS space time in the classical approximation, so that is fine. But in a conformal theory side, if we go to higher dimension, like 3 dimensional conformal theory or 4 dimensional, there are no Virasoro symmetry, there are no infinite dimensional symmetry, so we have less powerful situation, and we cannot control the entropy. And we do not have an analytical result for entropy, except some particular cases.
So, sorry, can you also compute the finite temperature and finite volume in the ADS side?
I think, that is a good point, but we didn't do precise, but it's sort of summation of many geometries. And this is a VGZ black hole. We fix some boundary and we have to sum over many summer areas VGZ black hole and its modular transformation. But in principle, possible, but that's what we do. Yeah, but that's interesting. So now I'd like to go to higher dimension. So now this is more non-trivial because, as I mentioned, the quantum calculation of entropy in higher dimensions is very tricky and there are not so many systematical results and no analytical results. We have to do some numerical calculations. So the but in any side, so if we take any shape of A, it's quite difficult to compute. Numerically possible, but so I would like to restrict to define two important cases. Like infinite street, this is a parallel line, and with a stair, it's a subsystem A. Another one is just a round sphere, boundary is round sphere. In these cases, we have analytical result for this minimal surface that's plotted here, and we can compute entropy exactly. So the first one, this is a rather simple because there are no curvatures, it's just straight line, and indeed entropy takes simple form. There are two contributions. First one is just area of divergence. And of course, this depends on the choice of cutoff, so the coefficient is not universal, so we don't discuss this so much. So the second term is finite. This is somehow should be universal in that sense. Without, this doesn't depend on the choice of cutoff, so this should be some sort of universal quantity. And large L is size of this region, size of this region. And small L is this region of A, so this ratio appears. It's like minus some numerical constant. So it is interesting to compare this quantity between ADS size and Yambian size. But this is not exactly easy because ADS size, this corresponds to the strongly coupled physics, but we cannot do the calculation in strongly coupled limit. So we have to do some free field calculation. And this quantity is not protected quantity and not VPS quantity, so we don't expect they agree with each other precisely. But if we do somehow, try this, so we get this kind of result. And so first leading term is same, this is similar, this is area of divergence, functional form same. And the final term also has the same functional form. But coefficient is a bit different. This is, so gravity side has some smaller value, actually. But this agreement is not as plain because we know also the calculation, Taylor's calculation of the summer entropy, there are some OSAS factors. And between these three, CFT and ADS side, and this is something similar. Not exactly the same, but something similar. But this is some semi-qualitative agreement between these calculations. Okay, so that this is this straight line case, we have only two terms, but if we are interested in the circular disk, we have more complicated structure. This is more interesting. And this leading term is again area of divergence, but then second term has a this subleading term. This is d minus 1 to d minus 3, and there are no d minus 2 term actually. So if you have some singularity of this subsystem, if I have some this kind of cusp-like subsystem, then you get this second term actually, d minus 2 term. But in general, this smooth subsystem don't have this term, and this will have d minus 3, and then we end up with some constant when d is even. This means auto dimensional form of U3. On the other hand, you have a logarithmic divergent term when the total space time is form of U3 defined even dimension. In even dimensional form of U3, we have anomaly, viral anomaly, and here this Q is related to viral anomaly. So this is some combination of central charges. This is shown. Also, this quantity, this constant quantity is very interesting. This is because this characterizes the auto-dimensional property, and this simply this quantity is shown to some follow some sort of C7s as discovered by Rogmeier and Shinta. And so in this way, so we can also define some analog central charge. Also, we can also read off standard central charge from this entropy. So these are story in Italy ADS-CFT, so dual to conformal U3, and we keep QIDS and conformal invariance. Now, but it is also interesting to apply or generalize ADS-CFT to other more complicated gauge theories. And typical one is a confining gauge theory. This is one of the most important deformation of ADS-CFT correspondence. So we are looking, there are many such theories, but just here I concentrate on the simplest one, which is called ADS5 solution. So this is some Kazantzakis-like compactification of ADS5 geometry, but actually there is some instability happening, and the stable solution turns out to be some soliton-like geometry. So in ADS, infrared region extends to infinity. This metric shrinks, but it goes to infinity.
But ADS soliton has some turning point here. It's capital at some point. So this corresponds to mass gap of this gauge theory. And so again, we define this subsystem A as some infinite split like this. And this we just see small a. And we compute minimal area surface. And because this series, as I mentioned, is Kaluza-Klein compactified, so this is not 3 plus 1, but we derive the 2 plus 1 dimensional gauge theory. And this is if we forget about Kaluza-Klein more, this is approximated by some pure SUN, pure YAMU theory, which is really confining gauge theory. So we like to find this minimal surface, but there are two candidates of minimal surface. Why is this simple one? It's just disconnected surface. At this point, metric shrinks to zero, so this configuration is allowed. We don't have to connect this point to this point. It just ends here. On the other hand, we have another one, which is more non-trivial, which is connected surface. But connected surface exists only finite value of L. So if we go to a large distance, there are no disconnected surface. So we expect some phase transition. And indeed, if we plot this entropy, so we have this curve. So there are unphysical solutions, but this is a physical solution. And this is a trivial one. This disconnected one is always the same. Right? We normalize this to be zero, because this is the same surface. But the minimal one is non-trivial. This minimal surface one is, so this goes this way. But at this point, there is a phase transition, because disconnected one becomes dominant, because it has a smaller value. This way. We go this way. So it's entropy is continuous, but its derivative somehow jumps. So this is expected dual to just confinement, deconfinement, phase transition. The point is that here we don't need to use black hole geometry. Usually in ADS CFD, to understand the confinement, deconfinement transition, we need to, first we find zero temperature solution, and we heat it up, and then we find it is transitive. And free energy is favored if converted into black hole solution. And to confirm this, we need to know what is a black hole solution, and which is typically difficult in confining gauge theory. It's very complicated. But here, we just need to know the geometry at zero temperature. For example, you can restrict to supersymmetric theory, like, for example, Clebanov-Strasser solution. But it's black hole solution non-spot, it's quite difficult to get. Maybe, possibly numerically, but analytically, it's quite difficult. But this analysis shows that even if we look at zero temperature solution, we can detect this confinement, deconfinement phase transition.
Exactly. So we subtract exactly this contribution. This is also incrementing. This is my definition. So this is a result in holographic calculation. There are recently the lattice result of this of the similar models, and this is about four-dimensional Fourier theory. And there are several papers here. I show the most recent one. This is a SU3 gauge theory, and this is a plot in lattice Fourier theory. And here actually it is plotted. Plotted one is a derivative of entropy versus this length scale. So it's that it should jump at some point. If this analysis is true. But this analysis is true in a larger limit. So generally, we expect a milder phase transition for finite time. And indeed, if we look at this SU3, so this looks continuous, but if we look closely, so this is a plot. And largely speaking, we notice some discontinuity of derivative of this quantity. So this means that the second derivative end. So this other claim there is phase transition here, though the analysis includes lots of errors. This is more earlier work, which includes, I think, a lot of more errors. So they seem to find some phase transition. This is a derivative, but I'm not sure how much this is. But it is clear there is something happening here. At least its derivative should be, second derivative should be some discontinuous. Anyway, so in entanglement entropy, we can somehow detect this confinement,
the confinement phase branch in both.
Question for finite temperature mean?
So finite temperature? Ah, so you mean if we do this finite temperature?
Yes.
Then I don't think we can repeat it. Because we just work on the finite temperature case and compute this kind of entropy, right? Then it is sort of continuous. No phase transition.
Sorry, I'm a little confused as to what you've actually detected. I mean, if you have a theory with a mass gap but not confinement, for example, you just add explicit masses and result theory, are you going to get something like this also? Are you really detecting the mass gap or are you detecting?
I think if you have just mass gap, I think this trajectory is continuous. There are no phase transitions, so this is just continuous line. Maybe it looks like similar, but it should be continuous.
And can you prove that in free field theory at large n?
Right, I think so. You mean just massive scalability or something?
Yeah.
Right. I think so.
But if you take a large n, right, it can give you funny effects. So that's fine.
But here also, here it's confined to DSM, you take some. If you take a higher derivative, it's just. And if we also just consider some free field theory with mass gap, and if you heat up, there are no such a phase transition.
I understand that, but I mean, phase transition is a phase transition. Here, this is a transformation. Here, you're
yeah,
a transition in a quantity computed at zero temperature, and that might not be a transition.
Yeah, it's almost different, but I thought there are some analogous to each other. That's my intuition.
There's clearly some relation, but I mean, what you're really seeing is that the number of degrees of freedom that can contribute. As you're increasing this area, there's fewer and fewer than there, and I think that might just be a consequence of a mass gap as opposed to specifically confinement. Because it's not obvious it's a connection with the order parameter of confinement.
I see, but I don't know. But my guess is that if we just mass gap theory, and this entropy is continuous. I mean, if it takes a higher degree, still it is continuous. That's my guess. But we didn't do it in ADS. Okay, so these are that is result. And also I'd like to mention one related result, which is gives some quantitative support of this holographic calculation. So this is again about ADS soliton, but more complicated ADS soliton. This is some twisted ADS soliton. Original ADS soliton comes from double weak rotation of ADS black holes. But this is actually come from ADS car black hole, our R-child black hole. And then you have an extra parameter, which is a twist parameter. But here you have just supersymmetric, this is standard ADS5 process 5. And this is the ADS filter which we just have discussed. And we can interpret between the two. And then if we plot the free Young's result, it's here, and ADS result. And we just divide it into two parts and just around one, but simple storage surface. No window system. So then we plotted the result in ADS result. And okay, so a bit surprisingly, this gradient is rather exactly coincide with each other. So, and as opposed to lower dimensional case, higher dimensional case, there are not so many evidence for creating evidences, but this gives one non-trivial evidence. This how we use. Okay, so for now, I'm running out of time.
So, I just quickly mentioned our recent result. So, this is about black hole formation. So black hole formation in ADS is dual to summarization in CFD, and there are many arguments in this direction and many developments. And the one simple description of this summarization is some instantaneous change of Hamiltonian, which is also called quantum quench, and there are many interesting developments in this subject. And also, in quantum field theory case, the Calabrese study wrote very interesting papers for more than 5 years. And we would like to study this setup of ADS CFT. But there are some puzzle about entropy. So this is for Neumann entropy is always vanishing if we take some pure state. And if we have some pure state and follow some unitary evolution, always it is unitary. Always it is a pure state, the entropy is always zero. But on the other hand, if this claim is true, then if you have black hole, the entropy seems to be non-vanishing. So these two claims seem to be seem to contradict with each other. But also this is some analog of, it's not exactly the same, but it's some other classical analog of black hole information paradox. But it's this classical limit, actually it is possible to resolve this entropy pattern. And the result is something natural. So always this microscopic Hohenheimer entropy is vanishing if we, because we start from pure state. And even in the presence of black hole. But we have to show why a black hole has this vanishing entropy. So to do that, so we can use the following useful relation. So this is, so now entanglement entropy plays a very important role. Thermal entropy, total thermal entropy, it can be defined by some taking some difference between two entanglement entropy in the limit, this limit. This limit means just A covers total space-time and B goes to shrink to zero size. So the reason why we put this term is to cancel this divergence. This is just a technical point. There is an area of divergence, we just want to cancel this term. Then we get finite piece and this agrees with standard von Neumann entropy, thermal standard entropy. So if we can show SA equals SB, this is true for pure state, then this is zero. So this is what we'd like to show. Now we come back again to this picture. So also this is related to the question I asked here, this point. So we have some surface A and other surface B. So the subsystem A and B. And previously I said that this trajectory should be topologically same or homotopic to A. So we have to choose this surface for A. B should correspond to this one. But if we have this setup of black hole formation, if we go fast in time direction, there are no black holes. And our formulation, it doesn't depend on any time slice. So you can, we just require this gamma A is topologically connected to A, but you can go fast in time direction. So if there is no black hole, actually these two guys are topologically equivalent if we go back to this way. So this is a covariant definition of this entanglement entropy. So this means that these two guys are equivalent. So if we just take minimum area one, this is always gamma A. So even for A and B, both entropy is related to gamma A, not gamma B. So in this sense, we can show that this gamma SA equals SB, and this resolves this problem. So here always this one. So this means that total entropy, or just microscopic Hohenheimer entropy, is not useful to understand black hole formation. Instead, just if we look at a part of this, so this part of this, part of SA, some SA with some moderate choice of subsystem, then we can detect the black hole formation. So this means that if we compute entanglement entropy and its time evolution, you can detect black hole formation. And indeed, there are many works in directions. I think Confucius is done, analysis done by Calabrese-Curry in 1+1 dimension. But to understand the higher dimension, we need to resort to some holographic calculations done by this Spanish group and Johnson and Jan de Boer and collaborators done recently. And they also, this kind of, always we find this kind of behavior. So we start with, well, we have to subtract divergent piece, but it grows under time evolution and approaches constant value. And this increased amount of entropy is coincided with black hole entropy. So this linear growth appears. But another interesting thing is to take into account also finite size effect, also I mentioned before. If we take into account finite size effect, something different appears. Different approach. And we can do calculation for this quantum claim where the mass is step functionally changed, suddenly changed, and we compute this for two-dimensional free Dirac fermion with this some finite size effect. This is a finite size is normalized to be 1 or 2 pi. And this sigma is the size of subsystem. T is time evolution. And we find this analytical formula by using replica method. This written in terms of theta function. And if we plot this, we can see this kind of recurrence. It's linear in growth. This linear growth is the same as this one. But because of this finite size effect, it's going back. So this is some if this is an interacting theory, this is a functional recurrence. But if it's free field theory, so it recurrence is very fast. It's going back. And in this sense, entanglement entropy does not have to be a monotonical function of time. It can increase or decrease. And this is a free field theory, so this includes a lot of quantum corrections if we rewrite in terms of gravity dual. But if interpret the strongly coupled regions, this means that the black hole is created here because entropy going to large, but it's going back. This means the black hole is created and shrinks and disappears and created and so on. So we can somehow describe black hole creation and evaporation, sort of it. But this is in ADS, so it's evaporation means it's tricky, and it's not the same as black hole evaporation in asymptotic flood Schwarzschild space time. But somehow we can discuss this kind of thing by looking at this entanglement in it. The point is that the standard thermal entropy or microscopic phonema entropy is not that useful, but this entanglement entropy is useful to detect black hole information or black hole creation. So, and I just quickly mention some final result, and most recent result. This is about holography for flat space. Of course, ADS is space-time has a negative cosmological constant, and we don't know much about holography for flat space. But let's assume there is some analog of holography in flat space, and what we can tell about it from the viewpoint of entanglement entropy. So this is a flat space. We choose just Euclidean flat space-time, and these are polar coordinates, the standard polar coordinates. These are just three-dimensional sphere, and rho is identified with radial direction, and we put some UV cutoff. So if we compute first, we can do the calculation of correlation function. This is a rather simple space-time. We can do some analytical calculation of correlation functions, but if it turns out to be more complicated than ADS space-time, we can compute two-point function, three-point function, but higher point functions can be very tricky. But at least we can say that if we compute any point function, it always takes this form. So it always has this divergent factor, this UV cutoff, with this power and with some non-trivial function of this coordinate. So this is always simply divergent. So it depends on the choice of counter term, but if we choose proper boundary counter term, we can just erase this term, and correlation function can be trivial. This is just one choice, but it seems quite difficult to get any non-trivial information from this result in the finite, because finite terms vanish always. So this is one point, and so but this will be confusing. So we looked at the entanglement entropy. So to compute entanglement entropy, we divide the boundary into two parts again. But now this is a flat space, not ADS space, and there are no warp factor, non-trivial warp factor. So if we calculate this area of this minimal surface, the minimal surface is just this flat hypersurface, and this area is proportional to the area of A, volume is proportional to this volume of A. This is a obvious formula, which we can imagine from here. The point is that this area of this gamma A, or volume of gamma A, is now proportional to the volume of A. Previously, in ADS space-time, the point is that this is the area of A, boundary of A. But now volume appears. The situation is totally different. So we get volume rho rather than area rho. So this means that holographic dual is not a local quantum field theory, but some more non-local, very complicated one. But for example, if we take this smallest limit of this subsystem A, this coincides with this part, and this approaches the maximal bound of entropy. So this suggests that if we subsystem A, if the subsystem A gets to very small size, then the density matrix, reduced density matrix gets maximally entangled. Maximally entangled density matrix can be written in this way. So if this is true, then again we go back to the correlation function, some correlation function of 1 or 2 or n. If we compute correlation function, it becomes trivial because everything is random. So if we compute correlation function, every correlation function is standard 0. So maybe the thing which we encounter here is somehow understandable by looking at this. So we don't know much about how to choose this counterterm. But this is one possibility which you would like to argue here. So, but anyway, so this is also volume law suggests that holographic dual of space-time is a highly non-local theory. So it is interesting to search such a theory. So this is a, just we assume Gaussian model. We can introduce interaction, but it's more complicated. And with non-conventional kinetic terms, delta is Laplacian, some power of Laplacian or something. So we can still compute entanglement entropy by using replicatory or Orbifold method. And this is what we did. And if we, for example, assume this power, this kinetic term is the power of Laplacian, some delta to some power, then result is always same. So just always we have area law. But if we consider more complicated one, like exponential of something, exponential of delta or delta to some power, then you can change the area law into volume law or other law somehow. This power can be changed. So if we are interested in the, this volume law, then for example, we can choose this Gaussian theory. Phi, this phi is a scalar field, and the exponential, this looks very funny maybe, but the exponential to root of this Laplacian. If this, we consider this theory, then we get this volume law rather than area. So this is what we like to suggest. And this looks very strange, but actually, if we remember the open string field theory, so open string field theory has an alpha prime, and it is a non-local theory. And indeed, there are this kind of interaction, exponential to the Laplacian something. So this is not that surprising, maybe. So if we also, this is a quantum field theory description, but if we also consider some spin system, I can just suggest similar models. So this is a, some spin chain, spin models with some interactions. Usually we assume nearest neighbor interactions, but we are interested in non-local theory. So we assume these pairs are taken to be random, actually. So then, so this is a standard situation. So we take this subsystem A and there, and each point, entangled, maximally, largely entangled with the nearest point. This is a standard local theory. But non-local theory, this point is entangled with the spin which is far away, and so on. So this non-local nature appears. And if we take this random spin pair, then you get the vanishing, essentially vanishing correlation function, and you have this volume law of this entanglement. Okay, so finally, I also suggest some relation to black hole entropy. This is very speculative, but so this, if we consider the this spherical polar coordinate and do some analytical continuation to Lorentzian space-time, this is like, much like a Doshitta evolution looks like. Time slice, I just, so each slice of this boundary looks like Doshitta space, and its effective temperature it looks like this, 1 over 2 pi log infinity. And if we interpret this as some Lindelöf horizon black hole, this is a Hawking temperature. And what we find, so this entanglement entropy scales like this, and written in terms of this temperature, it looks like this. So this structure is somehow is very similar to black hole entropy in flat space. This is a Schwarzschild black hole entropy in flat space. Of course, these are in some sense trivial because of this dimensional analysis, but anyway, so this entanglement entropy has the same structure of this Schwarzschild black hole entropy, which is very difficult to understand even at present. So maybe, so if we understand more about this entanglement entropy in this flat space holography, this kind of holography, maybe we can understand this black hole, Schwarzschild black hole entropy. So they may be related to this entanglement. Okay, so these are all of my talk. I summarize conclusion. So we overviewed the recent progresses of holographic calculation entanglement entropy. And it, in summary, we can say that it is some natural generalization of Bekenstein-Hawking formula of this black hole entropy, but also true for many different surfaces. So this entanglement can be used as some quantum order parameter of phase conditions. And in the black hole formation process, this entanglement entropy is divergent, but if we subtract this divergence, it can be used as some coarse-grained entropy. And the point is that we know how to compute this quantity in conformal field side, also gravity dual side. So we can compare between two different viewpoints. And we can plot the size of black holes. And there are many interesting future problems. I just like a few of them. So But important thing is to show this holographic formula actually in a more rigorously, like using the standard bulk to boundary relation. Also, application is interesting, and especially holography in general spacetimes, including, so I'm currently interested in ADS, so-called some ADS wormhole, but actually this spacetime property is bit different from naively which we thought about black wormholes, but some solutions. And also, black, as I mentioned, the flash-field black hole in flat space is still mystery, so maybe this can be useful to understand the question here. And also, cosmologically, the Bosita space is very important, and we don't know much about holography in Bosita space, so this entanglement entity may give some good probe to understand this space time. I think I will stop. Thank you very much. Sorry, is it, no, 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 not some, yeah, no, no, no.
By looking at the mathematical loss. So how suddenly, I mean, first you said that it's very hard to, that it's not trivial at all how to relate the entanglement entropy to measure quantities, but then you are relating it to the entropy like you measure by the mathematics.
Good point. I think in some sense, if you choose particular choice of the subsystem, this entanglement is the same as some dynamical energy.
But in your case, it was very, very different, right? Because in your example, one was zero and the other one was very
big. The point is that I'm mainly working on zero temperature case. Most of the results I explain is zero temperature, so it's nothing related to some dynamical energy. But if you have finite temperature system and compute entanglement entropy, always we have some dynamical contribution to the entropy. And if we extract that part, it is the same, it is exactly the same as some dynamical current. Or maybe another, so you are talking of black hole formation, my part of black hole formation. Then, usually in some dynamical entropy, we need to do some coarse graining. But if we take literally quantum mechanically defined microscopic quantum entropy, it's just zero, because it's pure state. But to do coarse graining, we need something more. And the entanglement entropy gives us some one way to coarse grain, to this coarse grain.
This is a non-specialist question. Can you say something more about how the information loss in the holographic setting relates to the information loss problem in the Schwarzschild setting?
Yes.
Because the problematic issue there, I think, was that the fact that one starts with the pure state of the hole before the birth of the hole, and then after the evaporation, the state is mixed. So this is a violation of conservation of information.
First of all, ADS CFT claims that this any time-dependent background is due to some pure state, time evolution pure state. So there are no information loss. But to answer your question, I think we need to know more about this mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I cannot answer that one. Mm-hmm. But from the principle, we know that everything is unitary.
But so that part of the information paradox is solved by definition once you go to the.
If you go to the ADS-CFT, yes. But the detailed mechanism is not as clear. Also, in that context, I think entanglement between inside horizon and outside horizon is important. But what I computed as an entanglement to be something different. This is we just divided the region to two parts, but nothing related to horizon song. So these two questions not directly related, I should say.
Okay. Questions?
Have you thought about this connection under, if I do Boos in the field theory, in the sense of naively I would have said, the Boos in field theory, you get the same answer, but the area would seem to go down.
Boosting.
Yeah. So if I just ask the same question for some observer traveling at some velocity in the field theory.
For example, this is length, entropy depends on the length, and this is invariant length. So we have to take Lorentz invariant lengths always. I'm not sure this is answering your question, but so if we have this there's a formula, for example, this conformal two-dimensional conformal, say. And this is L is delta x minus, of course, this invariant names. If we have some time dependence also. This is the effect of Lorentz force.
I thought this was supposed to be a space like plane.
Yes, space like, of course, space like, but it's always positive. If we have some good, so if we have delta t, so this gets small, of course.
You were taking it when, so you're just saying that you're going to see Lorentz contraction, right?
So
you're just going to see Lorentz contraction, right? If we take a surface, a t equals zero surface, right?
This minimum surface, you mean, you're worrying about this null direction, it's extended in null direction?
No, it's not. Well, I assume you make it in a space like that.
Yeah, so this null surface is not allowed to this boundary, this minimum surface.
Alright, the what?
I'm not sure, but this is an area space time, this is a boundary. And if we go, of course, this time, go direction, the area becomes vanishing.
Sure.
But this is not something we want to achieve.
Sure.
Always we need to take some minimal area surface with some time slice if we have static space time. Mm-hmm. Also, in time dependent background, there is a rule. I didn't mention, but there is a rule to find correct extremal surface, and that excludes this null direction. So the area.
Yeah, no,
that's interesting. But this format is Lorentz invariant, so you can do.
Oh, so we could discuss.
Yeah.
I'm not the right.
Yeah,
I don't know.